Welcome to the Hope Story Circle, our first Hope Story Circle in the new year. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools Council Lead. To facilitate this call, it's so good to see all of you today. We haven't seen each other for 3 weeks. Seems like an eternity through the holidays and through our very tumultuous week this week. And here we in the United States have experienced. We're gonna probably not address that directly today, but it may come up. But welcome to all of you. And for those of you on the podcast, welcome to Peace On, your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. We welcome you. And today our special guests are Joel Kimmel, who has been with us before, and Judy Kimmel, who is our board chair of the Peace Alliance. And they are married. They've been married for 50 years. So Joel and Judy, if you want to unmute yourself, I just want to have you say hello.
Hi, this is us.
Hi, us.
We're pretty familiar to a lot of you.
It's still us.
And we still are married. It's amazing. I know.
Amazing.
It's a wonderful thing. Well, it's wonderful to have you both here. We actually invited Judy to join us. Judy has not yet been a guest on our Hope Story Circles, and her suggestion was to have both she and Joel together. So they are going to share a story, expand on a story you've heard, and share different perspectives around it and move it forward. But for those of you who weren't there for Joel's previous calls, they're going to explain it all. But let's start off with Yelena leading us in a meditation.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending where you are in the world and when are you listening to this podcast. I just want to welcome you to this community in 2021. And just before we start, just kind of look around and, you know, welcome this people into this community today. And if you are listening to this, just look around in your space and see something that delights you. I just see a lot of faces that delight me right now. So welcome you all. And from there, just kind of center yourself, whatever that means to you, and kind of come into your own body and presence. Just for a moment, let's pause. Let's pause here and kind of get into what Joel and Judy talk about, is that sense of being. Can we practice being right here, right now, in this moment? And whatever you might be carrying, just allow yourself to perhaps exhale that and come into this moment fresh. Welcome this moment with freshness, with a sense of allowing, giving yourself permission to be here right now fully. Noticing what is happening with your senses. What is alive for you in this moment? And if the things from the past or the future come into your moment, notice that, and with a breath, welcome yourself to this moment, to being here perhaps getting in touch with the earth, with your breath, and perhaps inquiring whatever is happening in this moment for you. Can you be with that, with kindness? Perhaps inviting a word of intention for this gathering. What is true for you? Then coming back to your senses, your presence in this moment, and allowing yourself to open and listen and be. Welcome, Jewel and Judy.
An angel on the planet. Oh my gosh, my angel voice, so beautiful. So here we are, Jewel and I, and it's been quite a week. I know you all have experienced quite a week, as we have experienced quite a week, and it harkens back for me to my early life. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and most of my life were overseas. And I remember vividly when JFK died, and I was in high school, and they announced it over the intercom and sent us all home, and watching caissons walking down Pennsylvania Avenue. And anyway, so if you all who have not, don't know Jewel, or have missed when he was on these talk sessions, we were going to talk a little bit about a traumatic experience we had very early in our marriage. We had been married 7 months, and Jewel had a very serious ski accident. And he's already shared a bit about him, that from his point of view, and about his insights and the profound experience that had on him. He had kind of a spiritual, certainly spiritual. He died and came back, basically. And today we thought we'd share a little bit about my experience of that experience. So I thought I'd go into sharing a bit about that. And the purpose being that I learned one of my major life lessons in that experience. And that lesson that I learned, I've held all my life. And I'm now 72. And it has helped me through so much of what I've experienced in my 72 years. And it starts, where I'll start is, we were living in Garmisch. My husband, Jewel, was running the ski patrol for the armed forces. He was still in the military. He'd been to Vietnam and come back and got restationed. And with a lot of luck, we ended up in Garmisch. Believe it or not, it was heaven duty in the military, running the ski program for the Armed Forces Recreational Center there. And one day he and a very good friend of ours, Hap Ridgway, who's also our roommate at the time, they were testing out a downhill run and we were out skiing and I was on another hill. And it was at the end of the morning and we were going to meet down at the bottom and have lunch or something. I don't even really remember what that was. And I looked over, it was at the bottom of a run and of the downhill run, but I was on another slope. And I looked over and I saw Hap come around. At that point in the run, it was quite narrow and there were trees on either side. And I saw Hap come around very fast around the corner. And then I saw Joel come around the corner right behind him, but Joel fell. And there was a log cabin right there at the turn. And I saw Joel fall and then slide, but I don't know. And then I waited and waited and Joel didn't come up. And then Hap got off, you know, scurried over, got off. And I knew right in my heart of hearts that something really bad had happened. So I was quite a distance away and I struggled and panicked to kind of walk ski over because we were at the same level. And as I approached where Hap was leaning over Joel, he said, "Don't come, don't come, go get ski patrol, get an ambulance, don't come." And so we did, I did that. I skied the rest of the way down the hill, got, and then, you know, it was like the longest minutes of my life. And anyway, we got back up to Joel and Hap had already resuscitated him once. And we got him down the hill. Anyway, long story made short, we eventually got him to the first to the military, small military clinic, and then to the Garmisch-Partenkirchen Hospital. And he had kind of died and been brought back yet again, and then in the hospital yet again. And so it was pretty much a days of experience of being, I'm sure I was in shock. And we waited and waited and Hap, the buddy came down and he shared what he had, and he'd been traumatized as well. And then they came out and we were waiting outside and they said, "Well, I think, you know, there's very little chance and I think you should go home and make some calls, tell his relative, you know, his family and all that." So we went home with, I went with Hap back to where we were living. We were living in this beautiful guest house, Rosemarie, and a little teeny German town called Hammersbach. And it was just so bizarre and unbelievable, the scene and my experience. And anyway, we made calls and I'm, once again, kind of in shock. And then, you know, what else was there to do but to wait? So I went to bed. And then just early in the morning, I kind of tossed and turned. I went to sleep. And I had this dream where I relived the whole thing. I relived watching him come around the corner, watching him fall, watching him not happen, half bend over. But then I had this epiphany that he stood up. And something completely shifted in my being. And I kind of got it, that it was gonna be okay. That I, no knowingness of how, what, when, or where, but that he was alive, it was gonna be okay. And that moment shifted my perception of how I could deal with it. And I went ahead and Joel went into this, I think on one of the other calls, but you know, it was a long process and it took, he was in the hospital for 6 months and he was blind and he couldn't move and they told us he'd never walk again. And then, but slowly, slowly, slowly things happened. And I kind of would grab onto these things. Were like golden rings. And, you know, his vision went from seeing three to seeing two, for first of all, he had vision, then he's 3 to 2, then he could sit up in bed, then, you know, one thing after another, then they transferred him to launch school, and he had these amazing military physical therapy people who are amazing, and I credit them with so much good work in the world over many, many years, who inspired him in a kind of tough way, which was a good thing for Joel because he's a pretty competitive guy. And here he is. Here's my baby. Here's my guy. And we both have learned many, many lessons from that. But what really worked for me in terms of one of my tools of living is that I held a vision. I held an intention and a vision. And that vision, I didn't know how, there was no doing this. I couldn't figure it out. It was way beyond my control. And yet that vision held fast and still holds fast, because now we're getting old and other things, physical things are happening and other situations are happening. And plus, in 50 years of marriage, a lot happens, a lot of shit happens. And, you know, you go to financial disasters, you know, you name it, we've been through it in our marriage. And, but I've always held true that there was this deep, profound love. And that love really guided me and has guided Joel together as through the process. So one of the things that Joel talked about in his other, one of his other, what we talk about, both of us, a lot is the distinction between being and doing and the power of knowing both and moving from one domain to the other and being aware of that, because to the degree that you're aware of, that you're in the kind of doing domain of getting stuff done and accomplishing results, as opposed to the being domain where you have this larger heart capacity to be present, to be in a, it's a different zone basically. And the ability to dance back and forth using breath, using meditation, using all the wonderful tools that are now much more prevalent and available to us all. I think that you have more joy and more pleasure in life. So I don't know, Joel, you wanna add something to my story?
Yes.
He's allowed to now talk. I'm allowing him.
This
to
is
do
very
that
exciting. This is really exciting.
He gets to talk.
So a couple of things. It's always amazing to me when I hear Judy tell her story about that incident that happened in our lives, because it was so different than my story.
Yes.
And here, you know, I think in life, we assume that the other person's story means the same thing as our story means to us. And every time Judy tells her story, I learn more about what happened that day. Do you know, I was dead. I didn't remember much of that stuff. And the powerful thing about it, the event brought us together in a way that what led us to here today, this moment, was our vision of how we would like it to be. Not, we didn't spend a lot of time trying to figure out why it wasn't that way. Judy is an extraordinarily powerful woman, a goddess in my books, because she can have a vision and I can almost watch it start to occur around us. So one of the things when I started to make sense, I came back from the other side. I have to tell you, when I was on the other side, there were these seven spirits that it was like having the Shell Answer woman and man around. They would talk about life and contextual statements of how the universe fits together and all that stuff. And then they asked me, they said, "Are you want to stay or you want to go back?" And I said, "I'm staying." And they said, "No, you should go back because you have a contribution to make." And I said, "What are the three things I should know that would allow me to make the contribution?" And one of them is that humans were put on the planet because it's paradise. And it's paradise every day. The second thing they told me is that everything you'll ever need is everywhere always, which is very powerful. If you start to live your life as if everything you'll ever need is everywhere always, life starts to go with the flow of life. And the third thing they said is that all you have to ask and see how it's given. Not ask and it's given, but ask and it's see how it's given. And the example Judy and I use is a guy had a food bank. It's getting very, very busy. He wanted to give more food. And he asked for a new pickup truck. And next day someone came by and gave him three wheelbarrows. So we're all, a lot of us are always looking for the pickup trucks. You know, so the ask and see how it's given is really powerful, because I think if we take a moment in our lives and look back, things that we really asked for that allowed us our being to be taken care of, to allow us to make the contribution, come true in a way that the greater being sees it would support us. So Judy, when I was there and I could barely start to make sense out of it, and the doctors were saying, you'll probably never walk again, but you'll probably survive. And I said to Judy, and we'd been married for 7 months, and I said, you know, Jude, if I'm going to be this way, we should probably get divorced, because I don't want to drag you through my life being a paraplegic. And Judy looked me square in the eye, and I'll never forget it. And she says, well, why don't we have that conversation when we need to have that conversation? We've never had that conversation. It's all worked out. And I think the point I'm making is that it's who we see ourselves being, with the vision that we can see ourselves being, that allows our world to unfold in a way that supports us in having what fits in to that vision. And without a vision like that, I think we would have been, you know, like the pinata thing, was swinging at the pinata all the time and seeing if that was going to work. So I think that's a critical point. And Judy always returns to that vision when she said, you know, Joel, I saw you get up. And so here we are. The other thing is that I think it's important in relationships to declare the vision you see the relationship being and the purpose that it can serve. So one of the visions that we had for our relationship was one of that marriage was a valuable state of being with yourselves and the world, and that it's always more powerful for two people to come together and forward their individual purposes in life than trying to get more pickup trucks. So I mean, maybe something different, but like that. So anyway,
in other words, I think, you know, another way of saying that is that we have, as a couple, we have a larger vision than us. Our larger vision is to make a difference in the world. I mean, that sounds corny, but we're pretty committed to that. And so our lives kind of generate around that. We totally support each other, but also to have a larger context for relationships, I think, is important. But I see we have just a little more time before we're supposed to break up.
What do you want to say?
Well, I think one of the things we thought we might do, which was be kind of fun, we do some workshops in other places. And one of the workshops, we have a list of being versus doing questions that we hand out. And I thought maybe I'd read them, because earlier we were talking about the distinction between being versus doing. And it's just fun to read these words to people and for them to get a sense of how that lands in your listening and in your body. And just to do a kind of a quick little exercise, and then maybe we can break into groups and work on to have happen lists, or Yelena is going to lead us into that, depending on, I guess, where we end up right now. But I thought I'd do that. Should I do that?
Yeah, so one suggestion I have is when Judy reads, so we all do things, and then we're always being, and we say it's who you're being while you're doing what you're doing that determines the quality of the work, the quality of your life, the quality of your relationships. So if you're being grumpy in the morning, you get up in the morning and you're grumpy, how's your day? pretty grumpy. And what do? Run around looking for happy people. And happy people don't like to be with grumpy people. So like that. So what, as Judy reads these words, between the doing side of life, which is we need to have that in our life, because that's how you make things happen. And then in the being side, just tune into your body and see which one feels lighter, the doing or the being side. So go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, and I just want to underline is we're not making doing bad. We're just emphasizing, I think, the value and contribution it's made to us to do the dance of knowing the distinction. So here's some, just if you want to close your eyes or not, whatever, just see how these words hit you. Forcing.
On the doing side.
And allowing.
On the being side. Okay.
Searching. Discovering. Concentrating, observing, rushing, lingering, making, unfolding, controlling, emerging, hearing, listening, getting, having. Looking, seeing, thinking, visioning. So in life, we have to-do lists, and we're recommending we also have to have happen lists on the being side.
Yes, so let me say something about the have happen list, because what we'd like you to do when you go into the breakout rooms is to write something that you would like to have happen in a way that would allow you to experience contributing to another so that the other feels that they make a difference and are appreciated. So what I wrote today, and I usually write have what I'd like to have happen before every meeting I go into, before every conversation, significant conversation I go to when I'm working with teams and people. But I read it to a few of us this morning, but this, and this comes sort of out of the being side of life. What I'd like to have happen, what I'd like to have happen on this call is to have everyone discover and see a new way of allowing what you would like to have happen. So one of, instead of saying what I want, start saying, well, you know what I'd like to have happen is X, and it would look like this, and how I see it contributing is that.
It's the why-ness. It also is important, the context.
Okay, they're going to take
anyway,
my
anyway. Yes, I am. I'm going to nudging. Okay. Yelena, I think it's time, or maybe you don't think it's time. Whatever you want to do.
Yelena, do you want to frame the inquiry?
Yeah, I think Joel just did that for us, and I would just kind of frame it as a question, in the sense of what do you like to have happened? And that can be on a personal, it can be also on the societal level. So, think of it and maybe start at the personal and kind of move toward that larger level. So that's the invitation. And if you are needing time to sit with that, and if that is, in a group that might not be something that is coming up for you, the invitation is to listen. It's one of those being words, and to, offer that gift of listening. And maybe, that gift of listening will allow you to create a have happened list for yourself. So that's the invitation, and we will go into small groups, and once you go there, just, I think Terry's putting in the chat, but you know, this listening with your heart, listening to what people are sharing and speaking from your heart, speaking from your own experience and saying just enough and trusting that you will know what to say. So that's the invitation.
Wonderful. I'm going to pause the recording right now. We'll go into breakout rooms and then we'll come back and we'll start the recording at that time. Welcome back. It's nice to see everyone again. So we were talking about have happened lists and have happened statements. Who'd like to share what happened in your breakout room? You can unmute yourself and share.
Hello, I'm Ruth in Georgia, United States of America.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Yay, Georgia.
Yay. Yeah, it's been a weird week to live in Northwest Georgia. Let me just say that. It's been a wonderful and terrible week. So thank you. It's my first time I managed to actually join. I feel what I wanted to have happen was to actually finally participate in one of these. So way to manifest that. Yay.
Yay, good.
And I loved having a chance to talk to people both inside and outside of my country in my small group. And I felt the challenge of the have happened. I'm a Buddhist and I believe a lot. My whole faith practice is about acknowledging how connected we are and how everything is present. Mm-hmm. And even inside of that, and having lived that for a long time, this was challenging. And within our group, I think we had kind of varying success about doing the exercise. That mm-hmm. I noticed myself being challenged to use that language, and you know, not all of us even could use it, and talking about what we want to have happen. And it was interesting to think about the broadness, right, George, the broadness of the have happened, like that George was in my group, that, you know, the small, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what's going to do in my family and my community and my country and my world. But I also recognize how much more peaceful and hopeful I feel from listening to everybody in my group share their thoughts. That's beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ruth. Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself and share. Go ahead, David.
I got to hear myself share something that I needed to hear. And that's the wonderful part of being in a small, safe group, mm-hmm. is that we not only hear other people's wisdom, we hear our own that we forgot about.
That's good.
Yes. Thank you, David. Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself. If you're on the phone, you could press *6 to unmute yourself. Anyone else like to share?
Yes, I'll share.
Wonderful.
My husband Keith and I are doing this together. Oh. And we have the same, what we would like to have happen. That's our part, it's both personal and societal. And it was really good in the group because there was two others and ourselves, so four. And we were all able to say what we want to have happen.
Mm.
Yeah. And there was wonderful what want to have happen in the group. Anything you want to say? No. Okay.
Thank you.
I think one of the, if I can add something, one of the suggestions we have is that when people are talking about the situations we're in now, what the question that might be useful to ask is, what would you like to have happen and what would that look like? Instead of, what do you think we should do? Mm-hmm. Got it. Because when you ask somebody, what do they think? Their awareness goes into the past and you're dealing with the past and history. But what you'd like to have happen opens up a whole new possibility of them share their vision, And then when they people share their vision, there's a strong chance that it'll fall into place. They think if they share what they think will happen, it goes into the to-do side of life, and it just goes into the gristmill of all the other to-dos that are flying around. So I think it's a powerful conversation with people on both sides, whoever you are talking to. That's my public service announcement today.
Thank you, Joel.
Kendra has just asked, I was in the group with Phyllis and Kendra, and she just asked if I would share how I've synthesized what we were talking about. And it would be three words, one from each of us. The first was from Phyllis about having storytelling and appreciation, Judy, for sharing your point of view, and Joel for being, you know, so gracious and such a good listener and role modeling that. And so her word was hope. And Kendra continued the thread and of listening and sharing from the heart and being grateful for how we are present for one another and wanting to have happen greater connection. Mm-hmm. And so as we look to connect more in these story circles and just the visual of the circle is lovely. And then what I've been reflecting on using both of those as balancing points is how we can integrate human nature and mother nature. And we looked at having fog clearing, and we talked earlier, Judy, and the accident happened on snow, on frozen water. And so as we thaw what needs to be thawed in our hearts and look at the connection inspired by the hope that Mother Nature always gives us, and seeing two sides of that word, nature, human nature and Mother Nature. And so how we nurture as a mother or as grandmothers do, being a grandmother now and being, you know, so engaged, thankfully, with my little grandson, it's seeing and listening to the lullabies and the sounds, Yelena, that you invited us to listen with our senses to what is around us. So connection and hope and seeing human nature and Mother Nature in greater connection with hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome,
Phyllis and Kendra.
I'd like to quickly mention that in our group, we were discussing the personal and the social, and the personal was personal surrounding kind of thing as opposed to internal. And so I suggested that we add a third one and answer the question for internally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. You probably have time for one more share if anyone has something they'd like to say. Okay, Phyllis.
Judy, I loved your story so much. I had never heard it before, and you told it so well with so much of your own feeling in it. And when you, the most powerful part of your story for me was when you said, I had this vision. I saw my husband standing, and that vision carried you. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I thought, oh, if I had to give a name to that vision, I would call it hope, because that vision sustained you through all of those months. Mm-hmm. And recently in my writing group, the person who gave us the prompt suggested that we write about resilience. Mm-hmm. So I went on a search of the literature about resilience. I found so much information about resilience. But when I went to say, okay, there's too much information here, what's the most important thing? I realized that the most important thing, the thing that drives resilience, is hope. Why would anyone engage in any of the work of resilience if one did not have hope? And I can imagine that every time you saw Joel just progress a little bit or do something a little more than he could do the day before, I bet you were right there encouraging him and coaching him and saying, try it again, try it again. Tomorrow, let's do it two times. And that's the work of resilience. And you did it because you had that vision of hope in front of you. It's a wonderful story. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yelena pinged me and let me know that Brendan had unmuted himself a couple of times. Brendan, did you have a share that you wanted to have with us?
Sure, I'll go. Yeah, I was just going to say that I had a good talk with my sister Carolyn. But but yeah, we just real quick summary was just talking about the importance of hearing each other. And we just kind of discussed, you know, the events that had happened here recently and just, you know, that we hope that that kind of is a catalyst for change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. All right. I'm putting a lot of links in the chat. The Peace Alliance empowers civic action for a culture of peace. And I'm putting in the link to our website, the link to our Peace On podcasts, all of our Hope Story Circles and National Calls and other podcasts are on Peace On, which you can access through our website or Podbean or Apple. We also have an initiative to condemn election violence. And we did bring it up again this week. You can click on a link there to join the petition and also another button for those of you who are in the United States to let all of your state and federal elected officials know that you want them to condemn election violence. We also have a similar initiative for the Blueprint for Peace. It's a major new initiative to make peace and nonviolence an effective organizing principle. So you can do the same thing there. We are a small nonprofit. We are always looking for donations of any size and would appreciate your support. Our monthly donors in particular, even no matter what size of the gift, we really appreciate the sustainable income. Also the calendar of events, our national monthly call is coming up on Tuesday. And I know we have a terrific speaker. Also the Peace Department of Peace Building has a monthly call that's open to everyone. So check the calendar of events and you can see everything we're doing and feel free to join us at any time. We'd love to see you there. And I think David mentioned this earlier in the call, we are doing these calls this year on the second and fourth Friday of every month. So you will get the regular communication sent out, but it will be the second and fourth Friday of every month. So with that, I'm gonna hand it off.
Saturday.
Sorry, second and fourth Saturday.
Saturday.
Thank you. This is why you are here to keep me honest. So Liz, take us home.
Thank you. I'm going to echo something Phyllis said by way of leading us out into our week. I was so thankful for Judy's story. And the thing that was powerful to me was when you acknowledged, Judy, that when you've decided to hold a shared intention, how much more powerful that could be. And I think that's one of the things that probably keeps us all coming back here into this room and into this space. That idea of a shared intention can radiate with so much more power. So I know that's going to be the focus in my meditation for for the week, right? It starts with the hope. I like that we named that, right? Start with hope. Let's name what we would like to have happen and understand that as we all radiate a kind of a shared intention, how much more powerful that can be. So that's what I'm going to take away. And I'm thankful to all of you for being here. Have a good week.
Thank you so much. You can unmute yourself and say goodbye. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.